Hello, 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 everybody. And it's another marvelous Monday with Common Sense Uncensored. And we're going to have a great show for you today because we have a wonderful guest. But of course, I want to make sure that everybody realizes that if you would like some GFBS merchandise, you can go to GFBSmerch.com and follow us on Rumble with any questions or comments. And as always, you can call 701-213-0863 or text to get on the air and chat with our guest, who today is Mr. Clayton Peterson. And he happens to be the co-founder and one of the gentlemen that runs Guns and the 701 podcast, which if you've never watched, is not only informative, but way fun. We are sort of kinsmanship because if you go to gunsandthe701.com, you're going to see his flamethrower on the front page. And I happen to have a flamethrower, and so does Paul. So it's the flamethrower family reunion today. And he happens to be a retired senior NRA field rep, so we're going to have a lot of fun talking today. So, Clayton, how the heck are you? This is actually our first opportunity to do more than text. How you been?
Oh, I'm doing great. We got a little snow down here, about 3-4 inches. So I was up all night calving, but that's the nature of that job. So
well, I understand. In fact, I always blame snowstorms in the spring on y'all who have ranches and are calving because it's sort of God's way of keeping you humble is to make sure that you have a rough time calving. So I'm so glad to finally meet you, and I've watched your podcast, and I got to say they're fun.
Thank you.
They're fun.
You guys have a good time. When we started that,
yeah,
we were filling in. Jamie and I were filling in for a radio host over in Mandan on a small little station, and we created a following. We were there for about 6 weeks, and then just once a week, I was driving up there, which got interesting, 100 miles every Monday. But I'll tell you what, after we got off there, people are like, "You guys got to do something." So for 2 months, I started figuring out how to do this, and we just launched, and boom, here we are almost, it'll be 2 years in August. So, yeah, it's been a great ride.
Well, it's so much fun because it's really interesting to watch people go out and having a good time with their firearms, because in the media today, you're pretty much simply seeing firearms and the detriment that they cause, and you don't get to see, because if I had a quarter for every time somebody would look at me and go, "Why do you want to own a gun?" And I look at them and I go, "Well, they're fun." And people, they get this look on their face like they just smelled something that died. And I'm like, no, but these are the people that are so judgmental, but they've never fired anything.
That's just it. I learned one thing with an anti-gunner or someone who's never been on the fence or never even fired a firearm in the past. You know, they'll ask, you know, "Why do you want one?" Well, for starters, it's a constitutional right. It's in the 27 words enshrined in our Second Amendment. So I don't really need a reason. But yes, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I can't tell you how cool it is when you take out a first-time shooter, even a person who we've done it, Jamie, myself, even my new co-host, Mike, who's on there with me. We take people out for the first time, and that big grin when they fire that first round, you got them hooked. And that's the key. Take people out. I think if we were concentrate that in our own community, let's face it, people on our side of the issue, on a lot of issues as far as on the conservative and constitutional side, we're all alphas. I mean, really, we are. That's why we strive and we fight and we do it all for really no pay. And a lot of times we believe in this country. But I think if we would do more of that, reaching out to bring them people and say, "Wait a second, let's not have the debate. Let's just go out to the range.
Yep.
Let's fire a few guns, show you how they operate, show you that this is not this scary big thing." I can tell you right now, if everybody would do that shoots, you're going to hook them. You really are. You're going to get them hooked. I brought my boys up that way. They've been shooting guns since they were old enough to do it. They're very responsible. In fact, I'm pretty proud to say my youngest probably outshoot me with a pistol anymore, and that's okay.
Humbling.
Yes. It means I've done my job right. By the way, we are broadcasting. I got it working simultaneously to all of our platforms.
Excellent.
So if anyone wants to check it out, the easiest place, go to gunsandthe701.com, of course. Follow it there. Of course, Kit, we're on your stuff.
It
was a Grand Forks.
Grand Forks Best Source.
There you go.
GFBS.com. You know, the joy that you get from mastering a gun, whether it's a shotgun, a rifle, a handgun, and you're out there and you watch yourself progress and you see yourself get better and better, and the mastery of the thing, it, to me, it's just the same as somebody who's in sports, who finally makes the heavy lift in a weight or makes the dunk. It's just an indescribable feel to tell people that it's not a scary thing if you would understand and respect the tool.
Oh, absolutely. It's like any other tool. Guns, I mean, they're not violent. Guns don't do nothing. They just sit there unless you take them and do things with them either responsibly or irresponsibly. And granted, accidents happen, but accidents are usually caused by neglect from the person that's handling it in a true accident. Of course, you got the flip side of that where you got evil people do evil things. There's nothing you can do about it. Satan has grabbed them people, and for whatever reason, they followed that path. And you know, it's all free will that from there. I guess I'm a very devout Christian. I fail every single day. So I look at that through that lens of good and evil. There is no other, there's no in between. There really isn't.
No.
If you're intent to cause evil, you're going to find the method.
Exactly.
And most people have a serious problem.
And of course,
the media runs with that.
Well, we've just had two serious stabbings. One was in Fargo and one was here in Grand Forks. And nobody was running around telling everyone they wanted to confiscate their knives.
No. Although, you know what? There are states right now, Washington State, Colorado State, Oregon, they have all tried to implement some kind of knife control because they have some of the most archaic gun laws. So guess what happened? Just as it happened in Britain, just as it happened in Australia when they banned guns, the evil criminals went forth and used knives. They started using knives. So now they want to restrict the length of knife and what you can do with it, where you can carry it. I just witnessed, I didn't go because of this policy. Usually I go to the GOP state convention.
Yep.
But with their policy, holding it down there, holding it over there in that communist nation of Fargo, North Dakota,
yep.
And at the Sanford Health Center, they did not allow you to carry or protect yourself.
I'm very aware.
It's insane. And I brought this issue up with several people in our Patriot group. They're like, well, what are we supposed to do? Do not comply. Quit complying until we quit. It's not going to end.
Find a
venue. If we don't have a venue, you know what? Let's find something to build a venue of freedom somewhere.
I went to the state convention, and I wasn't there for very long because I was actually very uncomfortable because I had to leave my gun in my car.
Yes.
And if I'm walking around, and as I was walking around the place, I'm looking around going, you know, this would be just a dynamite place for somebody to. And of course, you got to go through the metal detectors and everything else. So everyone's going, oh, we're safe. And I'm like, boy, you guys are sure silly because.
Well, and you know, we probably have some work to do in the legislature this coming session.
But I'm really worried.
The public gatherings thing is a farce, guys. Yes, public gatherings is in our century code. I used to deal with this with NRA events. Oh, you can't carry guns at a public event, public gathering. Yes, you can when it's a private organization. GOP is a nonprofit private organization that rented the facility. It is not a public gathering. It is not a public access gathering. You can't come in there on that floor unless you're a delegate, a paid member to both your district and to your state. It is not a public gathering, therefore you are exempt from that, and I'll argue that all day every day because I did it when I worked for the NRA, because we also required a ticket to come in and we were exempt from it. I had several attempts from communists, and I call them commie sheriffs, try to shut us down, and I had none of it. I threw them out.
Good for you. You're right. We need to be a little bit, but see, gun laws are written to keep us in line, us the people that will actually comply with laws. They're not really written to protect anyone.
No, criminals don't follow law. That's hence why they're called a criminal. All we do when you restrict the rights of actual law-abiding U.S. citizens, that's it, only United States citizens, all you do is endanger them because they become a soft target. Criminals don't care. If they're intent on breaking the law to kill you, pretty sure they don't care about your gun-free zone or your carry laws or anything else.
Well, and I'm a little uncomfortable because I may have gotten this wrong, but when I was looking at this, apparently the Biden administration has decided that illegal aliens have the right to carry. They've already broken laws.
Yes,
so why would I expect them to follow the gun laws?
They're not going to. A criminal is a criminal, right? They break the law. And you look at Chicago, Illinois right now. They actually had a proposal to let these illegal aliens, that's what they are. They are not migrants.
Nope.
They are not here just to have a better life. No, they're not. They're military age fighting men, most of them.
Yep.
And that's been proven over and over by the videos coming across the border. But I'm telling you right now, to let them become police officers in your police forces like California and Illinois and some of these other states are proposing, that's insane. So they want to keep guns from the law-abiding citizen of their state. They want to take the illegal alien and hand them a gun and say, go be a police officer, and you know nothing of this country or its laws or its traditions. That's crazy.
Well, that's the same place I was at. I was looking at all this, and I'm going, you know, if this was a movie, I'd be sitting back with my Coke and my popcorn going, oh, yeah, that's going to happen. And it is. It's mind-blowing. Yeah,
it is. It really is. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Armageddon. Not the one with Bruce Willis. It's basically about this idea of using our military. You're using everything. You're restricting the people, guns, going door to door, infringing on the rights and destroying the Constitution, teaming up with North Korea and China. I mean, you know what? That particular movie is really kind of scary because
it's happening.
I think Alex Jones produced it, which is interesting in itself. I'm telling you right now, it could happen. And then, of course, this guy tries to make his way back. He left the military, quote, went AWOL because he had to, because he wasn't going to take on residents and citizens of this country. And then they hold up in their own place out in the middle of nowhere, which is a scenario we've all talked about probably one time or another. And
right.
I probably live it. I live in the middle of nowhere.
So. I'd love to be your neighbor.
I'm ready, but we
can't seem to get too far enough away. We always seem to be. We have a cabin that's up in Walhalla, which is right down from a space force station with the nukes. Yeah. So
I'll say this about that: going to that Pamina Gorge up in Walhalla.
Isn't that gorgeous?
When I went up there, I went up to pick up a few things that we had gotten for a coyote hunt. Believe it or not.
Yep. Nope.
Another story. But I'm telling you, what a beautiful area. I never even knew that existed.
Yeah, it's right out my back door. And that's why we love being up there because, of course, when we want to shoot, we don't have to go to the range. We can go right out the back door.
Yep.
And we've
got a range set up right here at my place.
Yep, so do we. And coyote hunting, let me tell you, my brother-in-law was just up this weekend, and he spent, $18,000 on night vision equipment. But they left after a two-day hunt with 27 yotes in the back of the pickup. So it obviously works. But yet the gorge is awesome for hearing them, but hunting them is just about impossible once you get down in there. Because we hunt coyotes too, but the gorge is rough.
I'm a big-time coyote hunter. I mean, I don't do as much as I used to. I'm getting older, but that's just how that goes, too. But I can tell you, back in the day when I was in my 20s and 30s, man, that's all I did was coyote hunt. I hunted as general, but went out to Wyoming to do some up in the mountains, which I would relate that to the same as the gorge. It's that thick. It's tough because, yeah, you can call them.
Yep.
And they're probably coming, but your chance of seeing them is little and none because it's so thick in there.
It is.
I'd rather be out in the open. I can see them coming from a long ways away.
That's usually the way we do. We do in the open with the radios and stuff and call back and forth because we'll, up in Walhalla, we'll sit outside the cabin and we'll call and we'll list the lantern back and we'll listen as they get closer and closer. And we're just sitting there having an adult beverage farting around, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But we can hear them. We can hear them coming in. And
you take a little siren.
Yeah,
have you ever seen them? And you'll be able to locate them. And
we
start
just
howling.
You know, just a couple of hillbillies, a couple of old hillbillies sitting on the porch having a good time. You know, waiting for the sun to go down, calling in the yotes. But
absolutely.
I got to take my first break here for Oh for Heaven's Cakes, and I want everybody to know that it's graduation time, and you need to pre-order your special cake for your grad. So don't forget Oh for Heaven's Cakes because there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. And that's where Oh for Heaven's Cakes comes in. You'll find the best cupcakes and cakes for any special occasion or just a treat. Walk in to find out more, but I'm warning you, you will not want to leave, and you won't leave empty-handed. Oh for Heaven's Cakes is located on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall. They're open Tuesdays through Friday from 10 to 4 and Saturdays from 9 to noon. Give them a call at 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253, or you can email them oforheavenscakes@yahoo.com and be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins at Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. Don't forget, pre-order your graduation cakes. All right. Now, I've got a question to ask you because the right to keep and bear private property is where this is going to go because of the bump stock ban. that yes. as unequivocally limits the right to keep and bear arms that are already commonly owned and in use. Those who own bump stock devices have been often asked and are looking to be required to either turn in their private property to the government or else destroy them without any recompense. And this is they're literally being asked to destroy their private property or hand it over. And if they don't, it could be a felony, up to 10 years imprisonment with a $250,000 fine if you are found to continue to own it. And the thing that scares me is this is giving literally giving the government the right to confiscate and or destroy private property, if you want to look at it that way.
Absolutely. It's also a violation of due process. They're saying you're guilty of something that you never were. You bought it. You have it. You owned it. You completely legally, ATF reversed its decision on this.
Yep.
Luckily, there's been several lawsuits now, including one from the NRA, Gun Owners of America, Second Amendment Foundation, that, and they've all been done through the courts in Texas. Let's face it, don't know about you, but if you keep up with law and how this works in cases, you always look for a state friendly to your issue. Texas happens to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they went there and they filed their cases on behalf. You, of course, to have a case, you have to have a violator, right? So you've had people who have actually violated it on purpose, and then they take the case. In all them cases now, the members of each of those organizations, which is millions of people, I mean, there's over 5 million just in the NRA, probably closer to 6 now. Now, we are excluded from that as this works through the system now, mm-hmm. if you have a bump stock still. I can't imagine that from the numbers I saw versus the numbers that were sold during the period when they were legal to sell, the non-compliance rate was about 99%. People said, nope, I will not comply. And that's my motto, guys. That's my mantra. Do not comply. We have to quit complying with stupid regulatory issues like this that are treated like law. It was not a law. And before everybody jumps down my case about Trump, yes, Trump started this.
Yep.
And I'm a Trump supporter. I think he had bad advice. It was pretty early on in his administration. I'd like to see someone ask him about it now, because I think he'd reverse that. And when he wins in November and he takes that oath of office again, January 20th, 2025, I imagine it's going to be rescinded and a whole new ATF will be reimagined. Because I have a feeling Department of Justice is going to be cleaned out. So that'll
I
be
can
good.
Only hope.
But getting back to the intent and the historical use, of course, we all know Bruin decision, Bruin versus New York State rifle and pistol, that set the precedent for everything that's happening. So on the flip side of that, you can thank Trump for the justices that he did put on there. I don't agree with some of their decisions as far as whether they're conservative.
Correct.
But when it comes to the Second Amendment, they seem like they are upholding it and upholding it with major decisions. Bruin set the case with historical use set now forth through every single court system down to your smallest one. And we're starting to see that. I've seen cases dropped. Of course, you don't hear about that in the drive-by media. I've seen cases, long-time cases that have been working through the system. All of a sudden, boom, they just give up because they know they're going to be overturned. And some judges don't like that. You know, you got some judges don't care, but then you got the Ninth Circus out there. They don't care how many times they're overturned. It's just, Bruin was a huge historical thing. And you can thank thank President Trump for that, for the justices he got through. You can thank the Senate for actually passing that at the time and approving those particular court justices. And you can also, the NRA, Second Amendment Foundation, Gun Owners of America, they were all involved in that, and you got to thank them, because without all of them, we would be heading down a very, very different trail.
Well, I'm always a little nervous because we have an AG in North Dakota that loves to tell everybody that he carries and that he's such a pro-gun person and everything else. Yet when we had the crazy man who shot up Fargo here a little while ago and killed an officer and wounded two others before he was taken out, he immediately went into restrict mode and started talking about all the things you're not supposed to have and the background checks and other things. And I was he was a legal gun owner, but there were so many other things that were going on with that. And then to immediately have the pro guy in the state go completely bonkers and go the other way, it's scary at any moment that this could happen to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Drew Wrigley, I remember when he was running as the attorney general, you know, trying to get in there after Stengem died. Stengem was not a pro-gun guy either, guys.
Nope.
I can tell you stories, and that's a whole other show by itself. I've done a lot of battle with that office on behalf of our members and of our just friends of mine. But Drew Wigley, when I flat out walked up to him, I got one question for sure that I always ask a politician. Can you tell me what the Second Amendment is? Oh, yeah, it's about freedom and owning guns and so you can go hunting. No, I want you to tell me what it is and what its meaning is. But I want you to recite the 27 words of the. If you're running on a pro-gun, that you're so pro-gun,
Yep.
then you probably should know that because someone's going to ask you in the crowd. I got asked at one time in a radio interview, did not know it by heart. That changed right after I learned, made sure I learned it. Drew Wigley could not tell me what it was. Then I pressed him on the AR issue. He basically wouldn't answer me. This was at a district meeting that in my district, and he walked away from me. That's Drew Wigley. Now, if he's changed his mind since that happened, great. I'm glad you had an epiphany, but I have not seen it. And there's a lot of lawsuits that a lot of state attorney generals have signed on to protect the Second Amendment. And Wrigley seems to be absent in not
I've
all of them,
noticed
but in a lot
that.
of them.
Yep,
Yes.
I've noticed that. And that's what scares me is I always tell folks, okay, when you're looking to elect someone, don't listen to what they say because talk is cheap.
Yes.
Listen to what they do. Because
Absolutely.
what someone does is their actions will always speak louder than words. And I could tell you I'm the freaking Queen of England. Big deal, I'm not.
Yeah,
So, I mean,
and
he quite frankly, he scares me. I'm very
I don't
nervous
trust
about him.
him.
I'm very nervous about him.
He's probably better than, the Democrat that was running. There's no doubt about that. But I don't trust the man. And I got issues with that anyway, politicians. Till they prove themselves to me, you take like I trust Jeff Magrum. Senator Magrum is fantastic. He was great in the House. He's great in the Senate. I trust Senator Magrum. I trust Rick Becker. There are people I trust, but I can tell you right now, Drew Wrigley is not one of
Okay,
those.
well, the reason I'm glad is because you have pretty much confirmed the way I felt. And I've met Drew and I've spoken to Drew and other things, and I got his wonderful I carry, I was in the big city and I had to protect myself, so I carried yada yada yada.
Good for you,
Okay,
right?
yeah. Woohoo. Well, and now Tammy Miller, who's running as a conservative, talks about standing behind the counter at her family store with a sh defending it with a shotgun. And I'm like, oh, please.
I can tell you that those commercials are insane.
I hear that and I'm like, you know what? There's not a damn really good gun owner on the planet that would be bragging about that crap.
No, I mean, I carry predominantly all the time, just because it's habit. I always have. But when you come out and you make ads like that, really? I don't know if anybody realizes it. I always tell this when I was giving instruction, when I was, teaching people that in self-defense stuff, carry your firearm because you may need it. Know how to use it proficiently because that is key. If you don't know how to use it, then don't carry it. Okay? Whether it's a gun or a shotgun, whether it's a pistol, whatever it may be, take the training if need be. You should know how to use that firearm and respectfully use it. Now, will I use it to protect myself? I absolutely will. And you have to be willing to do that. If you pull your firearm, you better have already made a decision. You will shoot that person and take care of the threat. That threat may require deadly force. It may not. That'll be a decision you're going to have to make in a split second. But if you're not willing to use it, don't carry it. Don't have it with you. It's something that none of us want to do. I don't know about you. I don't want to kill people. It breaks one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. I don't want to kill anybody. But I have to believe that if something happens where it's threatening my life and it's imminent that it's going to happen or my family, I am going to pull the trigger and protect our lives first. And I think I'm going to be forgiven for that one. That's just the way I look at
I
it.
feel the same way. And that's if you aren't willing to use it, then that what you're doing is you're carrying a tool that someone may take from you and use against you. That's really
Absolutely.
stupid.
Absolutely.
And if you're carrying something you don't know how to use, that's even stupider.
Even worse. Even
I
worse.
mean,
Yes, absolutely. And you'd be surprised how many people I meet. Oh, yeah, I got this Glock 9mm. That always seems to be the one. I was like, well, okay, that's not a bad gun. I don't even one I would choose, but do you know how to use it? Oh, yeah. Do you know how to take it apart? What do you mean? And I mean, you need to know everything about that firearm. You really do. You know how to take it apart. You know how to clean it. Know how to use it. Know how to operate it. You got to do everything with that. Get familiar with it. Shoot it. Find out, they haven't hardly shot it. You take them out on the range.
What
Yeah, they
distance
have
is it
no
good
clue.
at?
Yeah. And most encounters in self-defense, believe
Close.
it or not, they're less than 10 feet.
Absolutely.
And when you think about that, you know what I carry most of the time? It's a North American Arms 22 Magnum revolver. They're like this big.
Yeah, they're small.
I can carry it in my pocket. But I guarantee you, it will take care of the threat if needed. Now, if I'm in different settings, I might carry something a little different. I might carry multiples, depending on where I'm going. But I'm telling you right now, that particular firearm, you get hit with it, you might not kill the person, which is not my intent.
You'll slow them down.
You'll slow them down, and you'll be able to get the upper hand or just get out of the area.
I've got a little.
That, to me, is responsible.
I've got a little pink Lady Smith & Wesson 38.
There you go.
Yeah, and it's got little pink Talon bullets. I'll look fabulous using it, darling.
This is another favorite, right?
Yeah,
here.
my husband gets the biggest charge out of it, and I said, "But if I'm going to shoot, I'm going to look fabulous." But I'm joking. But you know, the key is everyone goes, "Well, that doesn't have many bullets," and I said, "How many do you think you should need?" I mean, for my purposes, that'll do.
Absolutely. I'm a big revolver guy. I used to carry revolvers all the time. I do switch back between a semi-auto. I own a lot of firearms, and I enjoy
I can see behind you.
Yeah. That's just a sample.
I know. I know.
I really enjoy doing that. And I catch a lot of grief for this behind me, too.
Why?
I don't know why you tell people what you got. It's like, I ain't afraid of nothing.
No.
In fact, I got a couple collectibles back there. You know, you got the M1 Grand, which I love that. Military history with that firearm is astounding. I mean, I got a Mosin Nagant back there, which, let's face it, that's not much of a gun, but it did the job, didn't it, for years and years and years. And
we have an original flintlock.
Flintlocks work just
It's an original flintlock. It's been handed down through the family for literally centuries. And, I mean, it's a good-looking gun. It's been well taken mm-hmm. care of. I mean, it hangs on a wall right now because I don't plan to do much with it other than that. Yeah. But I mean,
I enjoy carrying
you could still use it.
The judge shoots a 410. You can shoot 45s through it, 45 Colts. But I'm telling you right now, that judge with a 410 shell in it, depending on what you put in there, that'll take care of your self-defense needs too. What's the perfect gun? The perfect gun is the one you are most familiar with
yep.
and know how to use proficiently.
And you're willing to use.
Absolutely.
I understand totally. I'm going to do a really quick, my next property break. We're a little early, but because I want to switch gears here. So, Paul, can we go ahead with executive properties?
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears here because I've got something that actually rather scares me. The Justice Department has renamed red flag laws. It's now ERPOs, the National Extreme Yes. Risk Protection Order Resource Center, because when something doesn't get passed, we rename it. So that it is less scary, so that Absolutely. We can make sure we can launch it. And these are scaring the pants off me. Can you please help us a little bit understand what the meaning is behind these ERPOs and what damage they can do to our Second Amendment rights?
Well, you remember that little thing called the Safer Bipartisan Whatever Act, the Commie Act, I called it, that Biden
yep.
got through. And unfortunately, we had a lot of Republicans vote for this, too. That was unfortunate. It really was.
That's why I'm scared.
Yes.
I mean, that's what terrified me, is this wasn't an executive order pushed through by the loonies. They took the supposedly sane people with them. And yes, and when I always talk to people about the uniparty, where you've got the D or the R, they're both on the same side. And this is why I am so scared, because this has got backing, unfortunately, from both sides, and that is terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. And what they did was that created the Office of Gun Violence Prevention or something within the White House, which she put a communist anti-gunner that's been around forever in charge of it. So with that, as with everything now, it starts at the top, right? Through a federal mandate or a reg or something like this fake make-believe office. So with that, now they have a ton of money they dumped into this. We're talking millions of dollars, guys. Millions of dollars. We did a whole thing on this on the show. I think it was like $2.1 million was dumped into this thing. So what that has done being they can't technically go out and do this. They're going to basically put that little bait on the hook for states, counties, municipalities, whatever. You pick your entity and just say, hey, we'll give you this money. But you have to implement this, this, and this. That being a red flag law. Let's call it what it is, not a protection order. And if you do these things, we'll provide the funding for it. We'll help you set it up. We'll get you out into the communities. They'll do ads on TV. You know, when we see these ads out there, what a bunch of crap, especially the public service announcements. It's all propaganda. It's all state propaganda, whether it's from the feds, the county, the state, wherever. It's all just propaganda. It reminded me a lot of what we saw, unfortunately, from nations like Russia, USSR back in the day, and China. That's what they have, state-run media. Well, that's what we're seeing today.
Yep.
And that's what's going to happen. They're going to go in there, and then they're going to use this money, and they're going to get your sheriff's departments. Guys, sheriff's departments, if you don't have a constitutional sheriff, are the worst. They're always out. They go to seminars to try and learn how to get more federal money. Remember, federal money is ours.
Yep.
Government makes nothing, produces nothing, and sells nothing. They have to take it. That's the only way they have money, or print some. Either way, we're losing our money.
Yeah, we're losing that battle,
so,
too.
So when you got your sheriff's departments out there, that, to me, they're supposed to be the one person, the sheriff, that stands between you and the government. They are the top law enforcement officer in your county. We have some good ones. Corey Lee comes to mind over in Stark County. Excellent guy. And he knows and understands the constitutionality of being a sheriff. But no, we got sheriff's departments taking this money because they want some special thing. And then they start implementing whatever the strings are attached to it. That's the scary part. With federal money, our money, there is no such thing as free money. It
nope.
comes with strings, and they will set the boundaries of it. That's why it's dangerous. It gives no due process. They're going to come in and say, hey, your neighbor over here, who you might have had a maybe I had a dispute with my neighbor on a fence. Now he's pissed at me, and I won. So now he's going to say I'm an extreme risk, and they're going to come take all my guns. Well, they're going to try, but they won't be successful. But that's the idea of it. And then you have to go fight.
Yes.
You have to go fight to prove your innocence, kind of like the link you sent me. That's what's happening. They're taking your due process away, as well as violating your Second Amendment. It's all by regulatory fiat, essentially. Yeah, the act was passed that funded it, but how they're implementing it's all from regulatory bureaucratic BS.
Well, what scares me is, for example, the Hawaiian Supreme Court just ruled that individuals have no Second Amendment rights under its history, state law, and spirit. Here's a quote. As the world turns, it makes no sense for contemporary society to pledge allegiance to the founding era's culture, realities, laws, and understanding of the Constitution. The thing about the old days, they the old days. Justice Todd Edens. What do you think about them apples?
The Hawaii, after a lot of the Supreme Court rulings, said, you know what? We're going to stick a thumb in your eye, and we're going to defy you anyway. So then their Supreme Court made that decision. Now you got to have another court. I mean, it's going to have to be appealed up through the chain, now through the federal appellate system, up to the Supreme Court. Our court systems are going to get very busy, and I think that's what you're seeing. You know, when you saw it, Colorado and Maine and some of these other states that tried to keep a presidential candidate off a ballot.
Yep.
When there's been no charge he's been found, I mean, no guilt, no decision, but yep, he's been charged with it. So it's, Rush Limbaugh always put it, it's not about what you can prove, not about what's happening. It's the narrative.
Yep.
It's what you can form as the narrative. And he used to say that it doesn't matter. Once it's said, it's out of the bag, right? Then it becomes the actual quote fact, even though it's not. Well, that's what's happening here. They're throwing one lawsuit after another in the Second Amendment's battle because they're losing. So they're financed well. I'm telling you, these people are so financed.
Everyone thinks
the NRA and the other groups are so financed big. No, in comparison, beans. I'm telling you, as a guy who worked there for 10 years, we did not have the money to fight like the other side did. They are 10 times more powerful, not even 100 sometimes, depending on what issue it is.
Well, and they love
any of us.
They love buzzwords. Assault weapon.
Yep. They took AR, long light rifle, Model 15, and turned it into assault rifle. That's a big, scary term, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, if you, especially if to the, I like to call them useful idiots.
Well, think about the narrative they set through that whole thing, starting all the way back to the Brady campaign when they were pushing the assault weapons ban, which then morphed into other things. That didn't resonate. And then after that ban went and expired in 2001, the Wild West didn't happen as they predicted. They had to change their narrative. And then it became what? Weapons of war. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we can't have weapons. Really? You're crazy. You want a weapon of war on the street? Well, Jamie and I did a whole thing. We even got a T-shirt made for it. What, weapons of war, you know, the crossbow, your 30-06 Springfield. Every single firearm, except at that time when they were saying it, the AR-15 was not a weapon of war. All the other firearms were literally weapons of war until Ukraine come by and we shipped ARs over there.
Oh, God.
Without background checks to Ukrainians that we have no clue who they were. That's a whole other rabbit.
Well, I know, but those weapons, those very same Ukrainian weapons, are showing up in Mexico and other places. So the reason they keep needing more is they got a hell of a side gig selling them.
Absolutely. That's a whole other threat to our country and our republic. And Kramer, unfortunately, has been part of it. Armstrong's been part of it. They funded it. They think it's fine, and it's not.
We need to quit funding. It isn't. And what scares me is, I'll give you an idea of where we're headed. You were talking about sheriffs and stuff, and the you're not going to believe this one, but hang on. The chief, the Toronto police chief. I know it's Canada, and I know that's a whole nother rabbit hole. But the Toronto police told residents to leave their car keys at their front door, so thieves, when they want to steal their car, will just open the door, walk in, grab the keys, and steal their car because you don't want to risk getting physically attacked in your own homes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, here.
I kid you not. Now, that's his answer to someone wanting to steal your vehicle or whatever because they're having a big problem with people's getting cars getting stolen right out of their driveways. And he says, well, people could break into your home and then there will be violence. So just leave your keys on the porch.
Yeah. Well, it's Canada. Look what
I understand, but all things good from Canada, all things bad from Canada seem to trickle in. And I mean, now you can't protect your own property.
And that's what they want. They want you unprotected. What does every dictatorial regime do? First thing they do is they take away your guns, either by force or by law or by fiat regulation. The first thing they do is disarm the civilians. Talk to the Jews about how that went for
Yep.
I don't think the Jewish people are very happy with that result in World War II. But that's the first thing they do because you can't protect yourself. You can't fight back. And they encourage you not to. I mean, last session, or not this last session, the session before, we had the fight for your Stand Your Ground bill. And we were facing a lot of opposition with that. And I actually told the Catholic lobbyist basically exactly what I thought of him afterwards. And then because he was against this because it's going to take life. That was a whole other discussion. Then I forget who it was. I believe it was a West Fargo or Fargo Democrat that was on that Judiciary Committee. And she basically posed it, are you supposed to be the judge and the jury? I said, yes.
Yes.
Someone threatens my – I don't think she's expecting that because I don't play into them narrative. I really don't care if I'm politically correct because I'm not. I said, yes, I am. When you threaten my life, I made the decision. I was the judge and the jury, and I will put a bullet in your head. That was my testimony.
Yeah.
And she just sat there dumbfounded.
Because
I said, I do not have a duty to retreat.
I do not have a duty to allow someone in my house, period. Much less, and as a female, that opens up a whole new kettle of fish. And I'm not the most attractive person on earth, but if someone has attention, I'm just saying. So, and where I live, it can oftentimes be well over 30 minutes before someone arrives. Now, the last time I checked, someone kicking in my door wasn't good. Would you please hold down a second? I just dialed 911. They gave me an ETA of about 30 minutes.
I know, isn't that something? And that's just it. It's the insanity of the idea that I'm supposed to depend on somebody else for my own safety. That's just a foreign idea to me anyway. I am solely responsible for the safety of myself and my family. Now, if I need assistance and they can make it, great.
Absolutely.
I live 20 miles from the nearest town of anything that even has a sheriff's department. And I don't have a lot of confidence they could get here within maybe 20 minutes. That's just the way that's going to go. I can take care of it much better on the ground right here. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to result in violence. I guess I hate that term too, because that has changed as well in the new age. Me shooting a guy and putting him down and eliminating the threat, not killing him, and then restraining him is not violent. That's justice. That's justice.
I think it all comes back to the story that I like to look at. When someone starts giving me scenario, who started it?
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
Who started it? My daddy always taught me, don't start a fight, but make sure you finish it.
Go ahead and finish it. Absolutely.
And that's the way I was raised. Don't
brought up that.
Don't go out and start a fight, but damn it, if one starts, you be sure to finish it.
And I've been teaching my boys that. My kids have been brought up, as you can tell, with my ideology. That's just the way that's going to be. And it's not a popular one. I can tell you all their friends that visit here, guess what they get a big dose of? And guess what they do? They love to shoot firearms.
Yes.
I can introduce so many kids to that. That's what we need to it. But I don't teach them that. Oh, I get tired of this too. Like, what was her name there that's running? She had her shotgun and her vest on.
Oh, God, yes. Oh,
you know what?
Lord.
The Second Amendment has zero to do with hunting. The Second Amendment was given to us so that when we saw a wrong in our government, we could have a means to change course. We could change that government or put it back on course where it belongs.
Protection from a tyrannical government.
Absolutely. And that is the intent. Jefferson spoke about it. In fact, all the foundings, if you go founding fathers, when you go look at those historical writings, that was their belief. That we had a fundamental right given to us. God, by the way, guys, the Constitution and the amendments in particular were written to restrict what government can do to us, not the other way around. And we've lost that because we're not educating kids anymore. Mine are, but mine are two kids. You know, well, are the rest of them? Probably not.
And people don't seem to be able to connect the dots. For example, violent assaults on police officers have risen sharply in recent years in Minnesota. Okay, from 2004 to 2023, only 11 Minnesota police officers died in the line of duty. However, in 2019, there were about 400 violent assaults on Minnesota officers. By 2023, the attacks had more than doubled to more than 19. Now, here's the thing. If they're shooting at the guys that legally are supposed to be there to protect them with guns, what the hell chance y'all think we got?
Yeah, exactly. None, right? It's, again, it goes back to a criminal with an evil intent. What are
ding,
they going to do?
Ding.
They're going to commit an atrocity. That's what they're going to do. They're going to do whatever they want.
And people don't seem to understand that you can't just pick up the phone and Batman's going to show up.
Yeah, not going to happen. 911 it's okay to have it, but in a lot of areas, especially a rural area, it's worthless. It really is.
Totally.
I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait to see what happens. No, I'm not going to barricade myself. No, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to, oh, we got a threat coming. Great. I'm going to go eliminate that threat. Whether it ends in death or not is up to the person doing it.
Neither my husband and I have been very good at the run and hide. I'm going to share a little bit of run and hide with you when we get back, but it's my last commercial break for Redemption Shield, and I want to encourage everyone to go to gfbestsource.com, and at the bottom of our homepage, you can click on the shield to order something that will help you by blocking out the EMP rays that we all know are in our houses. Redemption Shield. Paul, take it away.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%. Redemption.
Okay, so I want to bounce something off you. I spent 20 years teaching at a Minnesota community college, and I can't begin to tell you in the 20 years how many times we had a shooter on a campus drill, which consisted basically of turning off the lights, shutting the doors, which would lock automatically, and hiding in a corner, all piled up on each other because, God knows that's going to work.
Yeah.
And every single door in that building had a wonderful little glass that could easily be shot out where someone's arm could come through and just open the door. Mm-hmm. Not to mention several of the classrooms that had floor-to-ceiling glass walls that looked out on hallways and other areas, to which I have to say, what the hell? We talk so much about keeping our kids safe. Number one, even if you have a police officer on campus, you can't expect that they're going to be the one that's going to be able to find where everybody's going. Number two, you have just shut all of your people that are vulnerable into a small room that can be easily accessed and piled them all into a corner. What do you say to the people that say, but our schools are no firearm possession zones, and that's that's going to protect them?
Yeah, gun-free zone. I just followed a case in Montana on this, and Metcalf versus the Department of Justice on this. And, right now they're still fighting. They've had some setbacks. They've had some victories. But gun-free zones make soft targets. Schools that implement a gun-free zone, you guys are just dumb, okay?
Agreed.
Dumb policy. I'm going to call it what it is. Luckily, in both these states, North and South Dakota, we've been able to, at the state level, pass legislation that allows school districts to take care of this problem. How many have? Not very many.
Nope.
My own school, just 20 miles from me, where my children reside. Remind you guys, I'm in a conservative area with a liberal school board, and they don't think they are. But they think guns, oh gosh, we can't have them. And my goodness, when I went to school, my shop project was refinishing my grandpa's .22 rifle. I had them in my pickup in my gun rack, literally sitting in the parking lot. And there was no issues. So it's not the gun. You create a soft target. Yeah, and huddle everybody in the one area. Can you imagine if you had one armed teacher with that huddled group, what could have happened rather than having kids killed? Can you imagine if you had somebody who has been carrying their whole life, knows what they're doing, and they're in that particular area at the particular time that something happens, what could be stopped? This is insanity. We are in. I just looked at the new addition they put on in high school where I'm at.
Okay.
Big, beautiful school, which I think is ridiculous anyway. It needs four walls, windows, and classrooms. That's what you need. Get the job done. Quit spending other people's money as if you're a very wealthy millionaire who can build what he wants. Because that's not what you are.
Preach.
Yeah. And then they built this big entryway full of glass. Okay, it's got the little wires through it, shatterproof glass. It's got coated keys. But then off of the side is the library with this big rounded area of glass. And I made the comment already, like, you guys think you're safe. It's a false sense of security.
It is.
I can walk up there with a .22. I don't need an AR. I don't need any. Maybe a shotgun. Blast that window, walk through there, and start doing and bypass their security system 100%. I've been in there enough that I know where the cameras are.
Yep.
Walk through, shoot the cameras. Shotgun, guys. Shotguns are my choice if I'm going to go crazy.
I agree.
Which I'm not.
But, no, I understand. And I understand exactly what you're saying, because it's so funny, because when they talked about ARs, Bruce and I both looked at each other and went, hell, I'd use the shotgun.
Shotgun. Most effective, you don't have to aim.
We're just sitting there going, you got to know what the hell you're doing with an AR shotgun. You just got to have a general direction.
I mean, I'm not sure. As much as I love shooting ARs and AR-15s and 10s, I don't know if that's my choice if I'm going berserk.
Yep.
I think the shotguns and pistols, I mean, they're the most accessible and the easiest to use. But I look at these schools when they build them. We had a thing called School Shield in NRA.
Okay.
And because it was NRA-sponsored, most of the schools would not accept the help from it.
Of course not.
I mean, we even funded money through our program within North and South Dakota because we were ripping. We were doing, $750,000 in these two states under my leadership with the NRA program. Now it don't hardly exist, but that's a whole other story. But I'm telling you right now, there was money available within these states. We funded it. Nobody took us up on it. And they would have came in and done a free assessment. Didn't cost school nothing. Free assessment on what they should and shouldn't do. But they didn't want to do business with the NRA, and they sure as hell didn't want any of our advice. That was the problem, because they had this ideology-type mindset of the National Rifle Association, almost like Trump, orange man bad, NRA bad.
Well,
we have Eddie Eagle program. Have you ever heard of that?
No, they don't.
You put that in preschools and kindergarten, and it teaches kids, especially of that age, that have no comprehension what you do if you see a gun.
Yep.
It teaches about gun safety. It's an awesome program, but hardly anybody uses it. It's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate because there were a bunch of veterans that were teachers at my school. I have a CC license and stuff, and I would have gladly gone through the police if the police would have had a campus protection plan, which would have taught a teacher that was willing. Now, should anybody be forced to carry? Oh, hell no. But if there was a teacher that was willing and wanted to go through the special program, shoot her on campus to show people what to do and stuff like that, I think it would slow people down rather than having a no-gun zone. Not knowing which teachers were carrying and knowing that they were on campus would do a lot more to maybe make somebody think twice.
Absolutely. Look at the shooter that happened in Tennessee. You know why that shooter chose that place? Soft target.
Yep.
It, he, she, whatever it was, had targeted a mall, but didn't go there because of the presence there of security.
Yep.
And that was one that that was known. Can you imagine if that you had that same presence in a school building? This gun-free zone is atrocious. It really is. It's being challenged. I know that Wyoming worked on a deal, but unfortunately, the governor vetoed it. And they did it at the very end of the session, so they couldn't come back and override the veto because they had the votes to ban gun-free zones in Wyoming. I imagine it'll come back next year. And we need to look at that bill and copy it right here in North Dakota. Let's see who the true Second Amendment supporters are in the state of North Dakota. Everybody says, oh, you can't get that passed. That's fine. I've worked on a lot of bills I knew wouldn't pass the first time. Reciprocity, right to carry, you know, constitutional carry.
Yep.
They don't always pass right away, but you are able to find out who your enemies are and either eliminate them or try to change their mind. It's easier to eliminate them most of the time and put someone in there who is with you and loves freedom, loves the country, and loves your constitutional rights. It's way easier.
And that takes us right back to who's walking the walk and talking the talk versus just parroting. I'm a pro Second Amendment. You know how easy it is to say I'm a pro Second Amendment person, and then the minute shit hits the fan?
Absolutely. I've seen this from a lot of the politicians. Look at Doug Burgum. I can't stand that guy supported red flag laws.
Yes, he did.
When Wardner and our Republicans and Baszler were trying to push it through.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, we didn't understand it. Oh, bull. There was money on the table from the feds for it, and that's why it was happening. They wanted that money. And it's just like Burgum says he's for oil and coal. The hell he is. He does every green energy thing he can think
of.
Yes,
he does.
Not green, by the way. It's actually more expensive and dirtier. And now we're going to go put these stupid charging stations along the interstate. What is it, every 50 miles?
Yep.
He didn't have to do that, but he took the money. And by the way, you, the taxpayers of North Dakota, are going to end up paying for that. You should have told the Department of Justice, no, we don't want that grant. We're not going to do it. Let private industry do it. If it needs to be done, they will react to the demand. That's the way this works.
Here's another fun thing about those charging stations. They're full of copper wire. How long do you think that's going to last?
Yeah, it's insane.
I'm just saying. They're low because that's the only thing that can do it is the copper wiring. They're loaded with copper wire.
Yeah. And those mines primarily are not here in the country anymore.
No, and the money that's made by stripping said copper wire is why so many people that actually have electric cars say, I pulled up to the charging station and it wasn't working. In fact, it was
pieces. Now, and I've been in a Tesla. My uncle has one. It's awesome. I think we were onto something by putting – I'm about power and efficiency within my vehicles, whether it's tractors, cars, pickups, whatever. I know we got off subject here, but – that particular idea of having an onboard diesel or gas generation system for your motors at each wheel will give you 100% torque, 100% efficiency. That would work. You don't even need a battery. You don't need to have that heavy, expensive Chinese battery in it. We've been doing it in the coal mines for years. Those trucks have a diesel generator that power electric motors at the wheels because there's no system that can take the torque they need. Why? It's already there. The technology is there. I'd love to see it in tractors. That's the way to go, guys.
But it's the same problem we have. You're not going to be watching a bunch of politicians make a lot of money doing it that way.
Right.
And
exactly.
I've got a meme for you here, though. I love this one. Want to stop drunk drivers from killing sober drivers? Ban sober drivers from driving. That's how gun control works. What do you think about that one?
That's exactly how it works. Ban the people that are doing it right, and then it'll go away, right?
Yeah. Is there any legislation out there that you think will actually make us safer?
No.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, well, I take that back.
Okay.
Get rid of the restrictions we have now.
Got it. I'm behind you 100% because every time I look at a... Ronald Reagan said, if you hear someone say, I'm from the government and, you know, I'm here to help, run the other way. I have the same thing, but I've updated it to, if someone tells me that they're going to do something for my safety.
I don't need their help, right?
I don't need the help.
Yep.
Whatever it is, if you tell me that I'll be safer after you implement this, I'm running the other direction. Because it never works that way. And when I look at people attempting to make people safer from firearms, all it does to me is make me less safe, but it certainly makes the criminals out there having a heyday.
Absolutely. The criminals love unarmed victims. That's plain and simple. They love unarmed victims, and that's where they always go. It's the easiest, softest target, and that's what they're going to do. They don't want resistance. They don't want to even bring any kind of threat to themselves of harm. They're going to take the easy way. So, yeah, if you have a disarmed victim, they're the best ones. They love those.
What do you think about one of the fastest growing sports, and I'm surprised it's actually being allowed, but one of the fastest growing sports right now is skeet shooting.
Yeah, trap and skeet, especially within the high schools.
Yep.
Fantastic. Actually, when I was a rep, that started in about 2013, 14, really taking off. I actually went over to Minnesota and visited with those people. Of all the states in the union, guys, Minnesota was the boat that took this. They're the ones that went forth, made it happen, and they are the ones to follow. They truly are. And I was amazed at what they'd been accomplishing. I come back and told my people, you know, here in North and South Dakota, hey, you got to see what they're doing in Minnesota. And they started getting it going. Now it's growing in both these states, growing everywhere. And I am happy to see it. Unfortunately, a lot of high schools won't sign on to supporting it as an actual activity of the school.
Correct.
And that's sad. I always wondered why a tax-funded, let's take that back, a property tax-funded, so it's not everybody. By the way, it's not everybody. It's us, the property owners, that actually fund the schools primarily. How come we got no say in this? They take every liberal ideological thing and put it out there, but anything that we want, no, you can't do that. We can't do that in a public setting. What are you talking about? It's our money.
Well, and
that's where they forget.
It seems to me like it's the perfect sport because males and females on par.
Meets the, what is it, Title
Nine? Title Nine
stuff?
It's good on Title Nine, and while they might have men's and women's divisions, it's not necessary because I happen to know it. Gender don't mean diddly.
Not in shooting.
Not in really shooting,
don't.
It doesn't.
When I was instructing, you know, doing firearms instruction, what I loved was having a group of women. I always told people that I will teach 20 women how to shoot before I ever want 20 guys. And they're like, why is that? Because it said women come in generally not knowing what to do. That's why they're there. They want to learn. And they listen.
Yep.
Men, they already have this idea they're best at everything, but they came to the class for some reason, and then they want to tell you how they should do it. Yeah, that's the difference.
Well, and I used to do a thing with my students and stuff, and because of women wanting to be Army Rangers and things, and there's obviously problems. We don't have the physical strength and everything else, but I said, you want to know what?
Women
make Jim Dandy snipers.
Women can shoot just as well as men, if not better. I found that, a lot of times they take the patience. I don't know. I mean, men are just, we're a lot of us are alpha males. I mean, let's just face it. If you're a shooter and you do what we do, we're pretty much in that type one alpha type setting. And we want to do it fast, do it right, and prove you're wrong. Right?
Yep.
Well, women don't do that. Women want to do it right and do it right again. And again, and they want to perfect it.
Yes, we do.
take their time.
We want to get real good.
some of the best shooters I know are women. They really are. And they're not police officers. They're
not
military. They're just regular run-of-the-mill people that like to shoot. And I'll shoot side by side with women, men. I don't care. That it is a sport that everybody can do. And by the way, you don't need any special talent.
Nope.
You can be taught that. And you can do it for life. That's why, to me, it's the perfect sport to have in high school. I mean, my goodness, everybody can do it if they want to.
Don't have to be tall. Don't have to be built big. No. Don't have to be anything special. And actually, even
you can do it from a wheelchair. Hey,
yep, I was going to say handicapped or candy capable, whatever they want to call them these days.
Yep.
They're good, too. They can do it.
Yes, they are.
So, yep, Clayton, our hour has just flown by. This was very enjoyable for me. I really had a good time, and I believe it was very informative. Is there anything you'd like to leave the people with today?
You know what? Be very, very active. Don't be complacent. Get involved. Pay attention to your legislature. Just because we're in North Dakota does not mean we are safe from gun laws. We have anti-gun laws come up every single session.
Every session.
And guys, it starts now if you want something to go through, not January. You got to do it now. You got to lay that groundwork, find your sponsors, get things written how you want them. And, of course, I got to plug the show every Wednesday night, 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain, 7 o'clock Central. Guns in the 701 is the easiest way to find us, and just follow the links. But we're on Rumble, Facebook, I call it Fascist Book, CompuTube when we're not banned. Our ban ends on Wednesday again. So you got to go over to my backup stream at the Shootist 93, and that's our backup stream that we have. And this time we got banned because we had a picture or a video of a prairie dog that was exploding that we've been using for almost 2 years. Now all of a sudden... It's
bad.
Animals. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, well, you want to you go against community standards just as much as we probably do, darling.
Yeah, I love Rumble. We don't get nothing after I learned the platform was able to get us on there and do. I still haven't been able to put our live comments into our shows, but I do monitor it on a separate screen, and it's really taken off over there. But I'm telling you, we got a lot of stuff and a lot of content on our.
You guys are fun. You guys have fun. I enjoy watching your show.
Well, we appreciate that. You know what? We're going to have you on as a guest.
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. You guys are fun. I enjoy it. And you have a flamethrower, so you're already near and dear to my heart, honey. Everybody, it's time for us to go. Clayton, thank you again so much. It's been awesome. Common Sense Uncensored.
Keep your powder dry,
everybody. We got another one in the can, everybody. Bye-bye.